You're listening to the Faster Than Normal podcast, where we know that having ADD or ADHD is a gift, not a curse. Each week, we interview people from all around the globe, from every walk of life, in every profession, from rock stars to CEOs, from teachers to politicians, who have learned how to unlock the gifts of their ADD and ADHD diagnosis and use it to their personal and professional advantage, to build businesses, to become millionaires, or to simply better their lives. And now, here's the host of the Faster Than Normal podcast, the man who usually can be found singing in the gym at 5:15 a.m., Peter Shankman.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Faster Than Normal. My name is Peter Shankman. I am joined today by someone studying for their PhD. I read this girl's bio. You know, you never feel more stupid and more like you've done nothing with your life until you read someone's bio who's just run these ridiculous awards and done all this stuff. And she, does stuff with molecular targets and effector functions of CD1A autoreactive T cells in human skin. You know, I was doing that when I was six, so whatever. But
well, when you say it like that, I sound like a freak.
I'm thrilled to have Rachel Cotton, Rachel Nicole Cotton here, a PhD candidate, Harvard Immunology Program, Brigham Women's Hospital, Harvard Medical School. Rachel, welcome to Faster Than Normal.
Peter, thank you so much for having me. I found your podcast about a month ago, and only being diagnosed with ADHD recently myself, I was shocked. I'm like, oh my God, everyone's like me. This is amazing.
We get a lot of that.
Yeah.
So let's start it off. So for a lot of people with ADHD, and by a lot of people, I mean me, but probably a lot of other people, you know, school is not their best friend, right? We learn how to do things that we like in school, and we do them really well. But then we also learn how to, like, avoid other things or skirt the issue or not really, you know, barely apply ourselves, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a PhD candidate at Harvard with a really ridiculous, impressive resume, and you have ADHD. Tell us your backstory, man.
Yeah, well, you know, part of the avoidance or skirting around is how I got into research, actually.
Okay.
I was pretty lucky in elementary school that I just got it. I was, like, naturally can memorize things, like numbers clicked for me, like, I tested well. I don't know. Like, that's probably not an ADD thing.
We don't test well as ADHD.
Like, school was just really easy for me. So I just never learned study skills. I was the kid in high school that, like, I went to all girls school, who all the other girls hated because I could rip out, like, a 10-page paper the morning of, not study for an exam and, like, kill it.
Yeah, I no longer want to talk to you. Go ahead.
So I didn't develop any of those study skills through, like, elementary school or high school. And, like, I guess, like, high school it started to, like, become more apparent because high school was also when I discovered caffeine and, I was, like, on the cheerleading team in high school, and we can talk about how being not typical, like, head cheerleader or whatever, but my cheer gym was sponsored by Red Bull, and discovering Red Bull freshman year of high school. And I thought, like, oh, like, everyone must love caffeine. Like, this is how it works for everyone. Only found out later that, like, caffeine affects my brain differently than other people's brains because it, you know, makes dopamine stick around longer. And, like, I you know, made me focus, made me feel like a superhero. And so caffeine helped me get through high school also. And I said avoidance because that tricked something for me. So I had my first, like, research internship in high school. Like, lucky, there's a lot of biotech in San Diego. And I was thrilled by the fact that, wow, someone's, like, actually listening to my ideas and thinks they're good ideas. I'm just not, like, memorizing shit and regurgitating it, which, like, I can do, but that's not very, like, exciting or, you know, whatever. It's just, that's the school system that we have. And I think it's a bummer that, like, that is the way it is. So lucky to find that I liked research and liked immunology. Get to college and having, like, no study skills whatsoever. All of a sudden I'm, like, getting, like, C's in my big chemistry and, like, big biology lecture classes. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, this is not me. Like, I'm smarter than half these kids. But research I was good at. Like, I had, one of the reasons I went to Notre Dame was there was a professor who I wanted to work for. I was really interested in her research. And I decided to go to Notre Dame with this idea that I would work for her. Started in her lab first week of freshman year. Loved it. It was, like, my first place where I really felt like I fit in college. And so I just, like, threw myself into my research. I was the only freshman I knew who was working in a lab. I loved it. I was good at it. They, like, let me do stuff that I thought was a good idea. And they're like, yeah, sure, try it. Cool. Go for it. Yeah. So I just threw myself into that because that was the thing I was good at. I was, like, excited by it. And that was, like, how I avoided the thing that wasn't going so well in my life, which was the large lecture classes as well, the other science kids who were also like top five in their class in high school and played every varsity sport. And, you know, like Notre Dame is full of like perfect people who are closet weirdos. So yeah, research became my thing. And more college went on, like the more and more it became my thing. And I consistently sought out experiences and sought out activities that were either related to my research in some capacity or related to science or areas where the trifecta, I think maybe Ned Hollowell or one of your previous guests mentioned this, but the thing that you're passionate about or you can hyper-focus on, that you do hyper-focus on, that you're good at, and that someone will like pay you or award you to do. Right. And that was science for me. And Notre Dame was, you know, a unique transition point, I think, in really trying to build their research enterprise and focusing on undergraduates, that I had mentors who like totally rewarded that and like, they're like, go for it. So I was like the editor-in-chief of our research journal because not that many people were involved. And I'm like, oh, this is something that I can do and that I like doing, that they're going to let me do and I can do well and I can feel like I'm productive and I enjoy it and like it's my thing.
So would you, let me interrupt you for a second. Would you basically say, for lack of a better word, you found something you loved and said, you know what, I'm going to devote all my energy to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And okay, but then the flip side of that, there had to be times in school, you know, growing up, whatever, where you had to do things you didn't love.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about that because, you know, it's easy to do stuff that you love. I mean, God, there's a reason that you know, I love creating content, but I don't remember the last time I swept my floor. You know? So let's talk about what you learned or what you did for the stuff that you didn't love. How did you figure that out?
So the stuff I didn't love, I hated going to class when I would rather be in the lab doing something and creating something, discovering something new. And so some classes, the professors make you go. You have to check in with these like eye clicker things, which are awful. That's how they make people show up to large lectures. So I would go to class and either sleep after checking in or sit in the back and do emails. So I was like physically present. But then that would also bite me in the ass when the exam would come up and I have to like, oh shit, like learn like a month's worth of physics or organic chemistry in 2 days.
Right.
And for me, like one trick that really works is I listen to a song on repeat for sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's a few days. It's something usually of like the electronic Skrillex EDM type of like study music. Like, and it's enough distraction to like keep me in one place or on one thing. And then like just writing down, like copying either PowerPoint slides or the book or something, or even I got on the elliptical once and like had lectures up, like listening to lectures on like 2x because like everything's recorded now. Well, if you're lucky, like if students expect PowerPoint slides and like or recorded lectures to be available online, so you don't have to go to class, which is amazing. Yeah, so there's a couple like hacks like that. And then of course, like the pressure of time was like always the biggest one. And I think that, most people with ADD, ADHD will say this, that like the pressure of a deadline is just like taking like Adderall or caffeine, or like I firmly believe like I do my best work under pressure. Yep. And I started this in high school, like getting up insanely early because I was the only one in the house awake. And like, oh shit, I have cheer practice at 6 a.m.
Right.
I need to finish this eight page paper in the next 2 hours. Go. Yeah, so a couple of those like little hacks, I guess. Yeah, the song on repeat thing is one thing that like no one got. Like they're like, you're so weird for doing that. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but it works. So like, whatever.
It actually makes sense. I mean, I do something similar in that I find the songs I like. And for me, I'll work out to the same. I haven't changed my playlist other than adding more songs to it. I haven't changed my running playlist in 10 years.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's like same here. And like my running playlist has become the songs that I was most productive to like created the most, the things that I was most proud of too. And it's like that motivation that I'm like, oh yeah, like, awesome. I remember what I was doing and I had this song on repeat. And actually I'm going to recommend, since we're talking about music, theme song to this podcast, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger by Daft Punk.
Yep.
Totally encompasses like.
I don't think I've ever actually had to say this on the podcast. Everyone says it to me, slow down.
Oh God.
I don't think I've ever told anyone to slow down because I speak faster. And then I get emails all the time. Dude, I love your podcast, but you need to slow down.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. Okay. So
yeah, I get
down.
It all the time. My mind moves fast with my mouth and I revise sentences as I'm saying them.
So Rachel, let me ask you some questions. So
yeah. Yeah.
You're currently working on, tell us about the PhD you're currently doing, because it tells me it sounds fascinating.
Yeah, so I'm doing a PhD in immunology, which I love that rhymes a little bit. And I focus on the immune system that lives in the skin. And so for the non-biologists, you think of your immune system as this army of cells present in different tissue sites and different organs and circulating in the body that define like self and non-self, or harmful and not harmful, foreign, not foreign. And the immune system protects you, in theory, against the things that are harmful, foreign, not self. But maybe you can tell what I'm about to say is that that doesn't always hold true. And so the part of the immune system that I work on, T cells, which are the kind of the business end of the immune system, most would say, T cells live in our skin. And then there are 20 billion of them compared to around like 10 billion circulating in blood. So your immune system is like alive and well and really concentrated in skin. And these T cells that I work on, they recognize our own skin oils, actually, in the context of this protein called CD1 that immunologists' favorite animal model, mice, don't have. And so I'm working on like what do these T cells do? Why is this part of the immune system that reacts and creates an inflammatory state against yourself? Like, wow. What's the function of those cells in the skin? And a couple of theories so far is that they might function in like wound healing. So like if you get a scrape and the oil on the surface of your skin can now be seen by the T cells deeper in your skin, those T cells produce something that, this is immunology jargon, but called IL-22. It's a protein that encourages kind of sort of building healing response by other cells.
Got it.
And we think they function in allergy too, but you know, cool immunology stuff.
No, you seem to love it, which is very cool. But let me ask you this. There have to be, I mean, you're doing research that, you know, fundamentally change things, and you don't think...
Probably. That's the idea. I don't know.
You think of people with ADHD who change things as entrepreneurs, people starting companies, you know, the founding fathers, things like that. The stuff you're doing requires a massive amount of focus. Not something we're famous for.
Yes and no. So I think hyper-focus has been like my biggest strength, and in general, the biggest strength of ADD, and it has really become a part of like my identity, this ability to like become obsessed with something. And I learned a lot of my immunology by getting stuck in these hyper-focus modes. And I would spend, I remember one time over Thanksgiving, I stayed at Notre Dame, and I spent 3 days going down the rabbit hole reading about alternatively activated macrophages. It's an immunology thing. Right, yeah. No one would do that. I got to graduate school and realized like I had already read a lot of the literature, like known some things like more in depth than my classmates had, because I had had those like obsessive binges on immunology.
Tell me about the hyper-focusing, yeah. That you can't, I know, I've done research on how I hyper-focus, and I know that I can't be disturbed, and I can't. Tell us the hacks that you use to allow your hyper-focus to work for it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I already mentioned the listening to songs on repeat thing. Being in a place where there are people walking around or moving kind of around me, but not talking to me. Like, I am great at putting on, like, the resting bitch face, like, don't bother me. Which some people would say is not such a great thing, but hey, if you're walking down the street and don't want to get asked for the eighth time, like directions to another part of the hospital, like, you know, it comes in handy. Same, like if you don't want to be disturbed when you're like studying or working, whatever. Having the headphones in like helps a lot for people to like get to signal to others, like, hey, don't bug me. But then like sometimes if it's like a friend or someone in, you know, college, like walks by and they see you, like, yeah, like that knocks you out of hyper-focus, but it's also not the worst thing, because maybe I needed to get knocked out of my hyperfocus.
Right.
Maybe I should be studying for my physics exam instead of reading immunology for the third day in a row. And so I almost had to like figure out ways to get myself out when I would start to get frustrated. I need to not be doing this right now. Like there are other things that like I need to be doing that I just can't, because I am like stuck on this one thing. And so for me, it was like writing. So the best way for me to organize my thoughts is like just write everything down, because I all like write in pieces, kind of stream of consciousness. The way I'm talking right now, I'm going all over the place.
Well, talk to me about the negatives, because how do you, and talking about the negatives, what do you tell yourself to or do to sort of get out of them?
Yeah. So for me, just like writing a cohesive document of like what I had read, and like, I don't know, like creating some analysis of it. It was more for my benefit than anyone else's. But of course, I just sent that along to like my advisor, just so she knew what I was doing for the last 4 days. Like, and that I didn't know it then, but like my research advisor seeing my writing product or my product of my hyperfocus, signal to them like, oh, hey, she can write. We should give her papers to write, or we should give her more responsibility. Like, or hey, she really knows what she's talking about. And that was not the intention at all. This is just like a symptom of like hyperfocus.
Got it.
But I had C's in college because I like didn't study or go to class or like.
Tell us your top three hands down tricks, tips, life hacks, whatever you want to call them. For everyday use, how are you using ADHD as your gift?
I guess I have my three things.
You got the music that's given.
Yeah, music's the good one. I would say find mentors who empower you and enable you in the pursuit of your crazy awesome ideas. Because for me, like negative self talk is a problem. Like I talk myself out of doing so many great things, and so especially to like the college students out there, like find professors on your campus, whether that's someone you had a class with or someone whose work you're interested in, or like maybe someone who started a company that you think is really cool. Email them, reach out to them, set up like a brief meeting to like have coffee and just pick their brain. And it's amazing how easy it is to like set up kind of like a mentorship thing where it can be like, it can be a give and take. Like you can do work for them, but ultimately like someone who's going to be that empowering force of like, yeah, go with it.
Tell me two more questions. Do you exercise?
I do. Not like consistently. I'm not like you where I get up at like 3 a.m. and run like 5 miles a day. I probably run like once a week, but then I also like run in times of like self-loathing. And I don't know. I've done like a few half marathons a year for the past couple of years, but like I didn't really find running until like college. I honestly found it like really boring until I started running outside and like running to a destination or running to a place. Yeah, but now it's like a nice way to like challenge myself. Like I love challenging myself intellectually and physically, and I think that's also like an ADD thing maybe. And then yoga, like I found that halfway through college too, and I do like vinyasa power yoga, like the Baron Baptiste flavor, which some yogis would not like because they say it's too like ego. Uh-huh. But I don't know, that works for me. I did like diving and gymnastics and dance growing up, and so that allows me to like challenge myself and keep up those same kind of poses. Or and it's hot yoga, and like it's a way to turn my brain off while still like pushing my body.
Yeah,
that was the first thing I found that like could really like allowed me to shut my brain off a little bit, or just like meditate, slow it down, get out of my own head.
Very cool.
Oh, one other tip that I thought of just now. So I went to this talk a few years ago. One of my college roommates, her dad was a football coach at high school, and brought in a speaker for their banquet. And this speaker talked about writing down your 5 goals, whether it's for like the next semester or the next few months, and make them broad, put them in a place where you see them every day, and then you can illustrate it, make it pretty, but like the ways that you're going to address those major goals. And so it's still on the sticky note app on my desktop. My 5 goals for one semester, which is a natural time frame for college kids. One was like, be assertive, clear, and direct, and demand it from others. And then underneath were like the 3 things I had going on already that semester and how I was going to address that. Another one was be present, which is a really hard thing to do with ADD. And I didn't know I had ADD at the time, but that to me, I knew it was hard for me.
Got it.
And then be proud, confident, don't apologize. And then like the 2 areas of like things that I was already doing on how I would execute that goal.
Boom.
You know, out of sight, out of mind. So keep it, those 5 things in the place where you're going to see them every day.
Awesome.
That's a way to organize your thoughts, your day, your life.
Well, we are pushing 20 minutes. And as you know, that is the length of our interviews. But we have been talking to Rachel Cotton, who is probably one of the smartest people I've ever had on the podcast. That goes without saying. But thrilled that you were here. Thank you so much. How can people reach you if they want to talk more to you?
You can tweet at me at Rach Cotton, or email me at rachcotton4@gmail.com. That email does not get a lot of other stuff, so I will most likely respond if I'm not flooded. So, yeah.
Very cool.
It's great to be on the show, Peter. It's a wonderful thing that you're doing. Again, just so wonderful to hear that there are other people like us that are faster than normal.
Thank you, Rachel.
It's awesome.
We're great, very glad to have you, definitely. And
thank you.
For everyone listening, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Peter Shankman, Rachel Cotton, and Faster Than Normal. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review. That's how iTunes allows more people to see us, and we can help more people. I'm assuming Rachel has already left a stellar review, right, Rachel?
No, but I've...
You're on that right now, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Faster Than Normal podcast with your host, Peter Shankman. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review. You can subscribe in iTunes or your preferred download method of choice. But whatever you do, leave us a review. Tell us how we're doing. Opening and closing themes performed by the wonderful Stephen Byram. As always, we appreciate comments and feedback. Peter@Shankman.com or @PeterShankman. The website is fasterthannormal.com. And we will see you next week for another episode. Take care.